in Jesus' name. It's really good to see the benches almost all the way full. Thank y'all for coming. Good to have each one here this morning. I'm always amazed how God works in Sunday morning services. And Jared's devotional went right along with what I am planning to share here. He even read one of the main scriptures I was going to read. So, very blessed by that, how God works things out. And I think there's a message God wants us to hear this morning. For an introduction, turn to the book of Psalms. I want to read a few verses from Psalms 90. The title of the message this morning is Seek Ye First. Seek Ye First. In Psalms 90. I believe this is actually a psalm written by Moses, according to my Bible here. And Moses gives us some words on time. In verse 9 through 12. Verse 9 of Psalms 90. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So each one of us here is given a set amount of time. We don't know how much time we have, but we know that God is in control of the time that we have. He has given that to us. And that's what these verses bring out. God is in control of the time, and we are here as long as He wants us to be here. But He gives us that time, and He lets us choose how we spend it. What we do with the time that He has given us, that is a choice you and I have to make. And time is an interesting thing. It seems like as the older you get, I am not old by any means, but the older you get, it seems like time goes faster. And you look back at your life and like, wow, how did we get here already? That's how time works. And so we can choose what we do with our time. Now, we are busy people. I hear that a lot. I say it myself that I don't have enough time to do all that I want to do. And we fill our lives with all kinds of good things. We have all kinds of activities. We have church, we have work, we have family. And most of the things we do are good. But we have a lot to do. I looked up some statistics about how the average American spends their days of their years that they are given here in life. Very interesting statistics here, and this is from a study that was done by the Bureau of Labor, so supposedly fairly accurate. But the average American spends 15 years of his life working, 13 years doing leisure activities, 28 years sleeping. I find that one a little hard to believe. And 6 years taking care of children. So think about that a little bit. Kind of puts time in perspective. That is what the average American does with his life. Okay? And this was data acquired in a 10-year period based on the average life expectancy of Americans. Interesting point. Kind of a little bit of a side note, but the number one leisure activity that the average American does is watching TV, and that is 2.7 hours a day per person on average. And you know, because of technology, how advanced we are, we have the ability to do more things faster. We can be more efficient with our time. We have fast, efficient vehicles to get us to our jobs faster so we can use our fast, efficient tools so we can move on to the next job. We have the means to use our time efficiently and to do more things in the time that we have. But at the end of the day, we each have the same amount of time. We got 24 hours in a day, and that's not going to change. Now, like I said, we can decide what we do with this time. And the average person in a day will make approximately 35,000 decisions. That is a remotely conscious decision. So we're talking, you know, little things as far as like, what am I going to wear in the morning? When am I going to get up? Where am I going to go next? It includes decisions like that. But you make around 35,000 decisions a day to decide what you do with the time that you have in that day. And a lot of decisions are little. They have very little impact on the long term. But there are some decisions that are directional. If you make the same choice day after day after day, you are going to end up at a certain place because of that choice. If you choose not to brush your teeth, in 10 years you will be having some serious issues. Decisions are directional. And the other thing about deciding what to do with our time is you will make time for what is important to you. And we make decisions about what to do today because of what we think is important for me today. So I say all this to bring us to the main thrust of the message here. Again, the title is Seek Ye First, and I want to look at the subject of priorities. This thing of spending our time. What do we do with the time that we have? You know, there's something driving the choices that we make. There's something that determines why we do what we do. And what are our priorities based off of? What is driving that? What we value is what we're going to choose to spend our time on. Now, as Christians, we are part of the kingdom of God. We are followers of King Jesus. And here a while back, I preached a message on the Christians relating to politics and government, that type of thing. And I touched a lot on the kingdom of God. And I'm going to again be talking a lot about the kingdom of God this morning. And just a little bit of a refresher, I think I said some of these things in that message. But when you are part of the kingdom, you are at the mercy of the king. The king dictates what you do. And if there is someone in a kingdom that is disloyal to the king, that is doing things to work against the king or the kingdom, he will be dealt with. Now, we're not familiar with the concept of kings and kingdoms today. We're more familiar with a democracy. But that is how a kingdom works. The subjects are at the mercy of the king. And a kingdom also has certain rules and boundaries, certain things in place to control the kingdom. And today, as Christians, we are part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. So Jared read from Matthew chapter 6. And turn back to that. He read the exact same verses I was going to read, so we're not going to read them again, but I want to pull some things from here. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 3. Don't turn there. Keep going to Matthew 6. But a couple verses in Colossians 3 here that help keep all this in focus. Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We see here a change of focus. If you are risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. It's not about you anymore. Your life is now in Christ. And here in Matthew 6, from verses 19 to 34, we see the same theme in these verses. You know, those who are part of the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, they have their priorities. They have the things that are important to them. And the world prioritizes self. If you look at the world today, that's what you see. How can I take care of me? How can I build me up? How can I protect me? And that dictates how self dictates how money is spent, how time is spent, what decisions are made. That is the priorities of the world. And you see that here in Matthew 7 or Matthew 6. And even thinking of America, you think of one of the big things of America. I'm not sure if I think it might even be in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, that sounds a little selfish to me. And when self is prioritized, you look around at the world today, you don't have to look far at all. You see what happens when the priority is me. There is all kinds of wickedness, people getting hurt, lying, you name it, is happening because self is number one. But here, Jesus came teaching a kingdom with totally different priorities. He says in these verses in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, instead of collecting riches for yourself, build up treasures in heaven. And then in verse 33, most of all, seek first the kingdom of God. So a total different mindset from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God here. In the kingdom of God, the king dictates how time is spent. Jesus dictates what decisions are made. He dictates how you spend your money. He dictates what you do with your time. The king is to be the first priority above all else. So that means the interests of the king, the interests of the kingdom get priority above my interests. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about making me happy. It's about the king. In verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And this word treasure, if you look in verse 20, 20 is talking about, laying up treasures. But the word treasure, I think, doesn't just mean money. It doesn't just mean monetary things. But it could mean what you value. For where your treasure is, where you put your value, where you put your priorities, that is where your heart's going to be. What you place priority on is where your heart's going to be. And where your heart is where your loyalty is. So if you place priority on the things of the world, your loyalty will be there. If you place priority on the king, on the kingdom, your loyalty will be there. So do you value the kingdom of heaven and Jesus? Or is your heart set on the kingdom of the world? Then in verse 22, I'm going to read that verse in the New King James. It gives a little different perspective on it. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." And when you think of the eye is what focuses. The eye is what, it gives you vision. And your vision is what directs your life, is where you go. Where you are looking is where you're going to go. And so when you are focused on the king, when you're focused on Jesus and on his kingdom, your whole life will be affected by that. Your whole body will be full of light. I love that picture. But if your eye is focused somewhere else, your whole body will be full of darkness. And what I get from that too is what you are focused on will come out in your life. What you value, other people will see it. It's not too hard to look at somebody when after you spend some time with them to figure out what is top priority in their life, because it is reflected in how they live, what they say, and so forth. And you know, it is easy. It is very easy to get our priorities mixed up. It's easy to get our eye, that focused single eye, off of where it should be. And God knew this. And way back in Deuteronomy, please turn to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. God, through Moses, told the children of Israel to watch out for this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you read, I love the book of Deuteronomy. If you read through it, you see many times where God warned the children of Israel through Moses, or where they are, how do I say it? Where they are, Moses reminds them to be careful not to forget God. Be careful not to get your focus off of God after you enter the promised land. And here again, we're going to read from verses 4 through 15 of Deuteronomy 6. Moses is reminding them to not forget. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off of the face of the earth. Be careful to not forget God. Moses is reminding them that when they get into Canaan, when they get comfortable, they're no longer wandering through the wilderness. They can settle down now. This is a fruitful land. They'll have all kinds of blessings and comforts. He's saying, remember, do not forget God. He didn't say, don't get comfortable. He didn't say, don't enjoy these things. But he said, beware that your putting in my words, beware that your priorities don't shift after you settle. Beware that you do not go after other gods. You know, when we are comfortable, it is easy for our focus to shift, because self likes comfortable. And remember, self is what drives the kingdom of the world. And self likes comfort. And again, comfort's not wrong. Living with all blessings God has given us is not wrong. It's not what I'm saying. But what is number one in your life? Your comfort or your God? And that's what Moses was telling the children of Israel here. Do not forget. Remember who number one is supposed to be. Keep your eyes focused on the priorities of the kingdom, even in the middle of the comfort. So that brings us to the priorities of the kingdom. What are these kingdom priorities? We already saw how that we are to seek God first. So how does this look? So to figure out what the priorities are, we need to look at what is important to our King. What is the focus of King Jesus? And I found three main points I want to look at as far as three main priorities that I see in the kingdom. And again, maybe these aren't all inclusive, but these are three that I found in my studying. And they're not necessarily in order of importance here. It's just how I have them in my notes. But number one, caring for the hurting. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the story of at the end of time when he is at the judgment, you have the sheep and the goats. And the sheep on his right hand. And Jesus says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The heart of God is to care for the less fortunate. And you see that even through the Old Testament, how God put laws in place for the children of Israel to provide for those, for the widows, for the orphan, for people who did not have as much, who were hurting, who were poor. And Jesus also lived that out while he was on earth. You know, he made himself vulnerable. He touched the lepers. He sat with the sinners. He allowed sinners to touch him so that he could care for the hurting, so that he could help the needy. That was the heart of our King, is the heart of our King. And you know, the Pharisees, when Jesus was doing all those things, the Pharisees had the attitude that they were too godly to do these things. They were too important. But that is not the attitude that Jesus had. He was willing to make himself vulnerable to reach those who had needs. And that's what Jesus wants us as his followers to do today. Step out of our comfort zones and care for the hurting. Another priority of the kingdom is loving our brother. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know, God is love. And I think we understand this concept. You can read about it in 1 John, how that God is love. And if we have God dwelling in us, we will love. It is a result of having a relationship with God. Yes, we love those out there. We love the hurting. We love the needy, the neighbors, but also our brother, the ones that we rub shoulders with on a regular basis. How much do I love my brother? What am I willing to sacrifice to keep a relationship with him? Our King tells us to prioritize those relationships. Love your brother. You know, many times feelings get hurt. Many times there are broken relationships, whether in a church or in a family. But the kingdom priority in those situations is to love and forgive. Love one another as I have loved you. Another priority of the kingdom is to save the lost. In Luke 19, after Jesus had an interaction with Zacchaeus, he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Paul echoes this in 2 Timothy 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, Jesus gave the Great Commission. We're very familiar with those verses in the end of Matthew. And in those verses, in the verses that I read, we see, again, the heart of our King to spread the kingdom, to spread the good news, to tell others about what he has done for us. You know, that was Christ's main mission for coming to earth, was to die for the sinners. We get that. But the heart of our King is that that good news gets spread, that others can hear and come as well. As subjects of the King, one of our priority should be to tell others about what the King has done for us and can do for them. All right, so I'm going to get it a little more practical, a little closer to home as far as priorities. And I feel a little vulnerable doing this, but this is what I feel led to share here, so we're going to dive into this. So how do these things, we looked at these three kingdom priorities. So how does that flesh out in 2024 here in Dickson County? How do these things affect your everyday life? How will it affect your Monday? How will it affect what you do during the week? You know, God has given us so many things. He's given us resources. He's given us possessions, time, relationships. Do my priorities in those things, now first of all, I am going to be asking a lot of questions that I want you to be thinking about. I'm not going to ask for responses, but just a lot of questions here. Do my priorities in these things God has given me, do they line up with the kingdom priorities? Is it looking the same? How do I prioritize the kingdom in practical areas in my life? So I have three different practical areas. Again, there's more, I'm sure. This is not an all-inclusive list, but it's three things that I got here. Practical areas that we need to prioritize the kingdom in. First of all is time. And this is a big one because it covers a lot. But, you know, I opened up with some facts about how the average American spends their days. And, you know, we don't have much time left. I don't know how much time we have left. You know, we could walk out of here and one of us could die of a heart attack, or Christ could come back within the hour. We don't know how much time we have left, but I do believe it is short. It doesn't take anyone too wise to look at the world to see that there is definitely things going on in the world on a global scale that I feel like would point towards the end of time coming before too long. So if you knew that you had a year left, whether at the end of a year you are going to not be here anymore, would that change your priorities in the next? Would your priorities change in the next year? If you knew that this is my cutoff date, I am going to die on this date, between now and then, would your priorities change? We will make time for what is important to us. And one of the things that should be important to us as followers of Jesus is spending time with him every day. Again, the verse that I read in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What you value, that is where your energy and focus is going to be. Do you value your relationship with God enough to sacrifice sleep, sacrifice work, to spend time with him, to learn more about him? And more than just spending time with God, a specific time with God, are we using the time, the rest of the day then, for his kingdom? Is that the priority as we go through the day, as we go to work, I appreciate what Kevin said the other evening in his interview up here about, you know, we can be a missionary in your work. You don't have to go to Africa to be a missionary. We need to work. We need to provide. Work is a blessing. So as you're working, is kingdom the priority, or is money the priority? Is your reputation the priority? What is driving you as you do your everyday work, your everyday life? Finances. Julian preached a very excellent message on this last Sunday, or two Sundays ago. I'm not going to elaborate on this much at all. We actually talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. But what is priority with how I spend my money or with my business? And again, you can, having a business, having money is not wrong. It's actually a great opportunity. You can use these things for the kingdom, but you can also use them for yourself. So what is your priority? What is your focus in these things? And I love it when I see businesses that are specifically being used to further the kingdom of God. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that's the heart of our King. Relationships. I talked a little bit about this in the previous point. And, you know, our lives are full of relationships. Relationships are a blessing. They're important. But how am I prioritizing the kingdom in my relationships? What is more important to you? Getting a few extra hours of work in, or coming home early and spending time with your children? What is more important to you when you come home, you're tired, you're beat, you really don't want to do anything except sit on the couch and just kind of chill for a while? But your wife needs you, your children need you. What is more important at that point, self or the other person? What are you prioritizing? You know, a relationship that in which the kingdom is prioritized, you will give up self for the other person in the relationship. And thinking of families and children, again, how are you placing priority on your relationship with your children? You can have the most successful business, the most successful ministry. You can be doing all these good things, and yet if you lose your children, what are you doing? What really happened there? What are you prioritizing in your family? And church relationships, brother relationships, am I prioritizing my brother? Am I loving him? Or is my relationship with him about me, and I'm hard to get along with, and I keep disagreeing because self keeps getting in the way? What is your priority in your relationship? And again, this wasn't an all-inclusive list. I'm sure there's more areas I could go with that. But that is what I have here. I also want to look at quickly here two different people from the Bible and their example of priorities, what they did with their lives. I'm not going to read these verses, but you have Daniel. And the Bible says specifically that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So in other words, he set in his mind, God is number one, and I'm not going to change that. I'm going to stay focused on God no matter what happens. And you keep reading through the book of Daniel. He got to the lion's den experience where his life was threatened if he did not change his priorities. But his priority was to pray to his God. His priority was his relationship with God. And even the threat of his life did not change that. And he kept his priority. He kept God as number one. and God honored him for that. An example of someone whose priorities changed, you have the prodigal son. When you read that story in Luke, it starts out, it was very much about me. The prodigal son wanted to go spend his inheritance on righteous living for self. You know, he was focused on self. But as you read the story, he comes to the end of himself and he says, I will go back to my father. I will say, I have sinned. And I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me a servant. You see a switch in priorities. It wasn't no longer focused on self. It was focused on the Father. Use me as you want to use me. Whatever you want to do with me, do it. And that is our King's cry today. He wants his followers to come to him with that spirit of, God, I want to be used by you. I want you to be number one in my life. I want your priorities to be my priorities. That is what Jesus wants from us today. A few thoughts in closing here. You know, the priorities of the kingdom are outward focused. It's about the king. It's about spreading the kingdom. It's not about myself. So I want to challenge you as you go through this week, take a look at your time. Take a look at your relationships. You fill in the blank there. And look at your life. How am I prioritizing the kingdom in these things? Do my priorities line up with priorities of King Jesus? Let's kneel in prayer.